Hey Church, a podcast episode today on biblical marriage. Now, Jesus Christ said that there are many things that he wants to be able to tell his disciples, but that they cannot bear it. He said, but when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. So what I'm saying today is that we are of a kingdom that you cannot see unless you are born of the Spirit of God. So if you have the Spirit of God, then you can see the kingdom. And those are the people that Jesus was talking about, those people who receive the Spirit of God, they will be able to understand the truth. Jesus said, I have many things that I want to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. You cannot carry the weight of heavenly revelation. Jesus said to Nicodemus, if you know, how come you can't understand these basic earthly things? How will you ever understand spiritual things? So Jesus was using natural things like, you know, to be born again, to go into your mother's womb and be born again. You know, he said, I'm using natural analogies and you can't even understand that. How will you understand when I share with you spiritual realities? So there's a pattern here. Jesus is saying you cannot see the spirit realm without the Holy Spirit. He's saying that he has spiritual realities to share with you, but you need the Holy Spirit again to be able to contain them. And then Peter says Paul's letters talk about many difficult to understand things. And he says that men have twisted those things because they don't have the Spirit. So what I'm saying to you today around biblical marriage is that there is some really heavy spiritual things around marriage. And I want to go back to the basics, which is everything that is made visible first came out of the invisible. There are many, many scriptures, about 10 passages in the Bible that talk about everything being made through Christ Jesus, that everything being made through his spoken word, that the Holy Spirit was brooding over the waters of the deep. And then God spoke, that everything that is in the visible came out of the visible. But it's more profound than that, because everything that is in the visible is a copy of the invisible. For example, God did not just make physical things randomly. If God made something physical, it's because it is a copy of something invisible. For example, God is a man. We know that. We know that Jesus Christ is the exact copy of God. That is literally what the Bible says, that he was the express image of the Father. In other words, if you made a photocopy of the Father, if you made a Xerox of the Father, if you made a clone of the Father, if you made an exact copy of the Father, his character, his name, his personality, his physical body, it would be Jesus. Now, all of us men who were made in the image of God have fallen short of the copy of God. That's what Romans says. All have fallen short of the glory of God. What is the word glory? It's another way of saying copy, because it's another word for expression. The glory of an old man is his gray beard. A glory of a man is his grandchildren. In other words, the man's grandchildren are an expression of his DNA. A man's grey hair is an expression of his wisdom, because it's evidence of how many years he's been on the earth and how many lessons he's learnt during those years. So The glory of a woman is her long hair, but if she has short hair, it's her shame. Get it? If a man has long hair, it's shame, but if a man has a grey beard, it's glory. In other words, if man fell short of the glory of God, he fell short of the expression of God. In other words, you, man, you have not expressed God very well. God who is patient, God who is love, God who is kind, God who is merciful. Have you been merciful? Have you been patient? Have you been kind? But Jesus Christ was the exact representation of the Father. He was the exact copy of God. Now, woman came out of man. And this is where it gets heavy. But God was made, God made man in his image. He didn't make woman in his image. He made woman out of man. So a woman is, in a sense, a reflection of her man in the way that man is a reflection of God. But it's a little bit different and it's complicated, and I won't get into it on a podcast. We'd need 7 hours and a panel of theologians to figure this stuff out together. It'd be fascinating to do one day with Oral Roberts and Miles Monroe and Kevin Zadi and, you know, John Osteen. Anyway, we're not going to do that in this life, but what God showed me was that he has intimacy with himself. And when he made man as his express image, for man or any image to be able to fully represent God, they would need to be a husband and a wife, because the full expression of God would necessarily need to express his intimacy that he has with himself. So God said, you know, a marriage is three cords. It's the man and a woman and God. A man and a woman. See, God said he made man in his image, male and female. And female, he made them. So the image of God isn't just a man. The image of God is a man and a woman. When they come together physically in procreation, they become one, which is a representation, an image, a glory, so to speak, of God, of the intimacy that God has with himself. Because Jesus said, he said, Father, I pray that they would know you. That is intimacy. He said, Father, I pray that you would give them the glory that we had in the beginning. What glory did God have with himself in the beginning? What glory did Jesus have with the Father before the creation of the world? It was oneness. It was literally oneness. That God was one. That God was one with himself. That the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were one, and they are one. And Jesus prayed that we would be one. That the body of Christ would be one. That we would be in unity. That we would be in love. It doesn't mean we all have the same opinion about the environment and the Bible and the politics. But in the spirit realm, in unity of heart, unity of mind. You see, God is coming back for a perfect bride. And let me finish with this analogy, and you're going to have to take away my podcast episode today and pray about it, because the Holy Spirit will give you insight into the weight of what he's saying. There was in the garden, Adam and Eve. God put man to sleep in a garden. And when he woke up, he saw his wife and he was very pleased with her. Now, there was another garden where God put the second Adam to sleep, because Jesus was asleep in the belly of the earth for 3 days. And when he awoke, he saw Mary. Mary was the first church member to greet Jesus. She was a woman. Isn't that fascinating that the first Adam went to sleep and the first person he saw was his wife? The second Adam went to sleep and the first person he saw was his church. He saw his bride. He said, I go to my father and your father, my God and your God. And he said, go and tell your husband, go and tell Peter, not your husband, forgive me for that, but I'm mixing it up with the woman at the well who he said, go and get your husband. But it's actually the right thing to say, in that he wanted her to go and tell her authority, which was the head of the church, Peter. Go and tell Peter, go and tell the other disciples, because Jesus Christ is going to marry his bride, and that is you and I. We are the bride of Christ, and we are going to have intimacy with him. Ultimately, what God wants is oneness. The heavens and the earth are going to be dissolved. The Bible says he's not going to flood the earth with water. This time, is according to Peter and according to Jude, he's going to flood the earth with fire. He's going to burn up the earth with fire, because the God is interested in oneness. He's interested in the bride of Christ and the church being one with Jesus, being one with heaven, and being one with earth. If you read the book of Revelation, you will see that the end game is that man and God would be one, and that heaven and earth would be one, and that man and God and heaven and earth would be one. That is the ultimate end game. And if you put your hope on that, it's going to give you perspective. It's going to give you patience, and it's going to give you boldness to overcome every difficulty and every obstacle in this life. There's so much more that I want to say about marriage. I have my own story, my own experience, and I can talk about that in the future, and I have talked about it in the past. But it's very interesting that what Jesus wants for his bride, what Jesus is wanting to do with his church, is he's wanting to wash her with his words. He's wanting to speak over her with his words. We as a bride are washed, and we are clean because of his words. He said that to Peter at the Last Supper. He said, my words have cleansed you. You're clean because you've received my words. So as the bride of Christ, my encouragement to you is to hear what Jesus is saying and to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You know, be blessed by reading the Bible. Be blessed by listening to his word, his softly spoken word, his prophetic word, his word in the scriptures as well. The way that we are going to be made into his image is to be washed by his word. The way that we're going to be brought together in unity is to be washed by his word. We need to be, as God said in the Garden of Eden, a man will rule over his wife. And that's why we, as the bride of Christ, we need to yield and to receive the words that are coming from our husband, from Jesus. He's the head over the church, and we submit to his authority today. The more that we can submit to Jesus, the more that we can let his seed be impregnated in us, that we would be yielded to him, that like Mary, the wife of Joseph, said to the father, said to the angel, have your way with me. Let it be as you've spoken. That is the position of the bride of Christ, to say to Jesus, we agree with you, Jesus. Let it be to us the way that you've spoken. If you say it, Jesus, then it's true. If you say it, Jesus, then it's going to happen. If you say it, Jesus, then we believe. We're going to be those who are building our house on the rock of the word. Now, these messages are very heavy because they're from another realm. It's not my, you know, my voice or my vocal cords or my personality. It is the fire of the Holy Spirit who wants to take these heavy, weighty words and impregnate you with these words. He wants to let the Holy Spirit come today. Let his fire continue to unfold the mysteries that have been kept hidden, the mysteries that have already been revealed through Jesus Christ, the mysteries that the Holy Spirit is wanting to unpack, because he's already spoken everything. He's already spoken. He's spoken through his Son. He's spoken through his Son. The revelation has already been made manifest. On the cross, Jesus Christ has already demonstrated that you are forgiven, that you are loved, and you are invited and called and chosen to be one with God. It is up to us to be the bride of Christ who would receive his word, like a woman would receive the seed from her own husband through yieldedness and through submission. And let her husband be the ruler over her and over the family. He's the authority over the family. And the best place for a wife is to be under her husband. The best place for children is to be under their parents. And the best place for us as the church is to be under, you know, the leadership and the apostles and the government of the church and the government of God. This is a time to be submitted. This is a time to be yielded. This is a time to be in unity. It's actually so simple. It's so simple. Not to fight one another, not to lord it over one another, but to serve one another, to consider others as greater than ourselves. This is the position that we're in. When you yield to God, when you allow him to love you, when you allow him to speak to you, when you just simply agree with what he's already spoken, you know, your problems won't go away because of anything, you know, good, so to speak, in inverted commas, that you do. Your problems are going to go away because God is good, because God is faithful, because God is kind, because God is just. And because in a little while, he will make your enemies your footstool. So, you know, you might need to do something. You might need to say something. You might need to work harder to pay off your bills and get out of debt. But it's going to be because you've submitted to the Father and you've submitted to the Son and you've received his word and you're led by the Spirit and you're guided by the Spirit and you're praying in tongues. You see the flow? It's easy. It's a flow. And be a bride, be a willing recipient of his word today, and you'll find that you will overcome because of what he's done. That's what the Bible says. You overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Your overcoming is because of what he did. It's not because of what you did. It says that you overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony, of your testimony. So in other words, it's him again. It's you saying his words. They're not your words. They're his words. It's the word of your testimony, which is his words. Your testimony is Jesus. Your testimony is Jesus did this. Jesus paid the price. The stripes were on his back. The crown of thorns around your head is for your mental healing. You know, as Ben Fitzgerald said yesterday or whatever it was on Numa video, The stripes on his back are for your healing. His poverty is for your prosperity. His separation from the Father is for your adoption by the Father. His perfect life you receive, and your sin he receives. So this is the incredible exchange. You've married up. You've married up. You've married into the family of God. And that's another mystery, that your inheritance, the ring on your finger, your privileges as a son of God are wrapped up in your marriage with Jesus Christ. That's how you get in to being one with the Father. So love you guys lots. Thanks so much for listening. Again, this has been heavy, but it's not me. There's the demonic spirits don't want you to hear the truth, and the fire of God is going to burn up. And just say that out loud. Just say, God, I submit to your fire. I submit to your word being a two-edged sword, being able to divide me, to divide between soul and spirit. You divide, Lord, you discipline those you love. You correct and rebuke with all authority. Lord, teach me, correct me, rebuke me, burn me, Lord. I don't want there to be any evidence of me left in this life. I want my life to be lived as if Jesus was living his life through me. And when they look at my life, there'll be no evidence of me because I'm gone. I'm hidden in Christ. Jesus, would you burn me? Would you burn me so that nothing remains but the gold that you've deposited in my spirit, man, and in every area of my life, Lord, let there be evidence of Jesus. Amen. Guys, I'm burning. I'm burning just praying and speaking what God is praying and speaking. Remember, you are a ministry. You are a word. You are a sign. And you are a wonder just by being who God said you are. You are a son of God. You are an oracle of God. You are an ambassador of God. You are an ambassador of the Holy Spirit. So just be yourself today and be free today in Jesus' name. I love you lots. Bye for now. Oh.